Twilight likes to indulge in gossip and has sat in on meetings. Twilight, if I ever get this out, enjoys listening to gossip, reporting gossip. The best way to describe Twilight is, yes, she does have some facts and information. Yes, she has sat in on council meetings. Yes, she does record what is said. But she does love to gossip. She does love to listen to rumours. And rumours and half-informations that are reported, for example, a discussion that was held many years ago on if there was a problem on your planet, how would it be handled and what would be necessary to deal with it. The option of a mass evacuation was discussed. That was thought upon, and recently we decided that it would not work due to the fact that the sheer size of the population that would be necessary to evacuate. For example, you have a population on your planet of close to 8 billion people. Where would we put them? How would we transport them? How would they handle it in such a confined area, where you may have 1 or 2 million confined to an area of no more than maybe 5 miles. Very cramped and uncomfortable for them. So what do you do? Obviously, you cannot evacuate that kind of number. Do we let people die? Well, we cannot make that decision. That is something that must be left up to them. So therefore, a mass evacuation would present a problem. How you deal with individuals that have had this information given to them is that you smile and you say, well, certainly you have had information that does have a lot of merit to it, but it is a matter of time and logistics to see what will actually occur. And by answering in such an ambiguous way, you appease them a little bit. They read into what they hear, what they wish to hear. For example, if you say that it is a matter of time and logistics on the amount of necessary individuals that are evacuated, you're being vague and ambiguous. So therefore, you do not give a straight answer. But you have told them what they wish to hear, even though you haven't told them anything. People that listen to things without looking for what is really said and looking at things deeper tend to not see things fully. They tend to see things that they wish to see. You cannot please people like that, and it is, oh well, they have their path to walk. That is the best way to deal and handle with those people. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming. I will now depart as I have a council meeting to go.
Thank you.
Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hi, Squeer.
Hi. Oh, Mike Mark's nose is taking stuff up. It's taking fun up.
Wait, you want some? You want something to blow his nose with?
It'll clear. Okay. Questions. Where did everybody go?
Oh, did they left?
What was all that barking about with the dogs?
I don't know. There seems to be some kind of activity that was going on the street behind us.
Ah.
But, it, you know, I really couldn't be honest with the logistics.
Okay, we're going to put on the technical expert as somebody's getting fidgety. Technical expert. Yo. Dudes.
Hey, is that you, Carrie?
Now, who starts off with, yo, dudes?
Carrie?
Yes, it's me. Technical question.
I wanted to make sure.
Was somebody reading my page earlier on?
Was somebody reading your what?
Page on the thingy out there.
On the internet?
Yes, I was.
Curious. Manifestation, flowers, coercion.
Yeah,
what else do I do? Engineering. That's my field.
Yeah.
Aha. Okay, questions. Anybody?
All right, the photon belt. Okay, I've discussed it with you and Omal, and I don't want to dwell on it, but it is a very interesting situation that our planet is going through, our solar system is going through.
Yes.
And your reactions to the will you stop smelling Mark's feet?
I was just touching his nose with his feet.
Alrighty then, you're throwing me off. Okay, I would like to discuss or understand better, and there's a lot of people out here that are really, really interested in the photon belt, not just me, okay? And the spiritual ramifications of us passing through the belt.
Well, what is happening, basically, is that the positively charged photons are basically interacting with your body's auras, and it's increasing the vibrational frequency, which is different from what was discussed earlier on about vibrational notes. And it is bringing it up to a higher level so that the opening of pathways for individuals' abilities is also being affected. You bring up the frequency, right? And what happens? It brings it up higher. So therefore, it's more open. It's more open. You can do more things. For example, my field, coercion, manipulating people to do what I want them to do or what I think is best for them. You take a coercer that is in tune with the surroundings and the increase in the positively charged protons, and they can do a lot more than they have done in the past. They can manipulate people much more subtly. Have you noticed that recently, Russ? Well, you wouldn't notice much, would you? You've got your head stuck out the window. But the photons are interacting with the energy field that surrounds you and is making you more spiritually higher.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, no problem.
Yes.
You have a question. You're sitting there very patiently. Well, actually, you're sort of like bouncing around like a like one of those rubber balls that you power balls.
I want to know something. I don't think you can give me an answer, but I want to know anyhow.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
How in the heck can you fuse life with inanimate objects to give up power? This engine that I've seen is driving me nuts.
Ooh.
Okay?
You can. There is a...
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
They put a hamster on a treadmill, right?
What? No. This engine was moving, partner. Uh-huh. And it was...
Alive.
Powering. Yeah, it was alive. Mm-hmm. And it was powering a
okay,
ship.
Now. Put it this way. You take a... I'm not quite sure what you call them, but they root around in the ground, they snuffle a lot, and they smell rotten and tend to lie around in their own mess sometimes.
Pigs.
Yes, thank you. That's weird. I knew it was a three-letter word. I thought it started with H.
Yeah. Well, hog or pig would be correct. Pig
okay.
is what you're using.
Okay. Now, what fuel does a pig give off? Methane. If you treat it right.
Methane.
Methane.
So does human beings.
Correct. Now, what can you do with methane?
Burn it.
Which does what?
Creates heat.
Which in turn can be used for...
Oh, wow.
So, you see how an organic living being can actually power something?
No, no.
I know, you're... I know. I'm taking a very, very simple
basic... Yeah, I know what you're doing to me. You're leading me down the garden path is what you're doing.
I'm leading you to the goal.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Now, let's take the next logical step. Yeah. Obviously, you would want something that takes out the middle part, right? That instead of it coming out and then being fermented and giving off the gas, you want to take that part out. You want to have some creature that goes from eating something to giving off the power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would you do? I really can't tell you about a mole turning around on me and saying, pack your gear, you're going home.
What I'm trying to get at is I seen this engine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was alive.
Yeah, yeah. I know the engine that you're referring to.
And it wasn't stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you make an engine? It's beyond my comprehension.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Okay. I need a guinea pig. Russ? Stand up.
Oh, Jesus. Why me all the time?
Well, Johnny. Well, you're here. It would have chose me. I would have stood up.
Russ has had fuel earlier on today.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we've taken out the middle part. Russ, walk. Take a few steps. Okay, that will do. Okay, Russ is an engine that has just moved. So, you get a living engine, right? I.e. this gentleman here, right? You've got the combustion chamber, which is the stomach, right? The energy that was the protein that he ate earlier on has been transferred into movement. Okay, now... What you have to do is you take a... You can sit down, you're done. Let's give him a big round of applause. Okay. But basically, what is happening is that you take a entity, a being, right, that you say to it, okay, you can do this, right? You can power this. In return, we will give you what you want, as long as you give us what we want. How the engine achieves the return in favor, for example, let's say it needs a vessel to transport it. You build it a vessel to take it from point A to point B. And in return for building it, let's say you want to go to Aldebaran, right? You have to say to it, okay, we built you this. You take us to Aldebaran, and then you're free to go. So you build up this relationship with this entity. You give it food to power itself, and in return, it takes you where you wish to go. It's a symbiotic relationship between the engine and the people that are in control of it. Now, how it works. Basically, the power source is the excreted waste. The power stream that comes out and moves the vessel or the engine is basically what's left over after it's eaten. What it's basically doing is instead of just giving off a nasty odor. It's using that to achieve a goal. It's as simple as that. The technical side is more of a medical thing, actually, that a medic would be better to answer it than myself. I understand the basics. I understand how it works. And I understand how to repair the problem. But when it comes to the whys, I'm a little bit at a loss. I could tell you exactly how it works, all the chemical reactions and everything. But again, a mole would look at me and go, you're out, you're going home, if I sat down and told you. So I've got to be very careful what I say here.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. No problem. Any more questions?
It's time to go down the mountain.
Yes, I was noticing that you were getting a little agitated there.
He's tired.
Okay. You guys are free to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, I'm not going to get up because
that's fine.
But wait, when our mole says jump, we jump. When our mole says finish, we finish. When our mole says do not answer that question, we don't answer it. All these channeling sessions go before a mole's start. They analyze it, and anything that they think might be harmful goes before a mole. He reviews it and decides. For example, if I was to sit down and tell you to do this and to do that, and it got before a mole, and a mole looked at it and said, this is bad, Kiri has broken certain rules and ethics, then I would be bound to obey what a mole's decision is. If he said that I was not to channel ever again, then I would not channel ever again. If it was
what
real
kind of
bad,
punishment are you looking at? Are you looking at the possibility?
Oh, no,
if,
no, no.
If you give me more information than what you're supposed to, okay, I mean, is a mole going to ban you from channeling with us?
I don't
from
think
helping us?
I don't think
that would be repeated problems.
Yes.
For example, let's say she gives me, or as she has done before, technical information that slipped out.
Right. Okay. Right.
Now, what happens is Kara, who controls my editing features, will basically deny me the ability to put that onto a web page or be able to reproduce that in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Because Omar will say, do this. And Kara will say, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, if Kiri gives you more information than she should,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you try and put that information on the internet, Kara will intervene and stop you from putting on that information.
Oh, no.
Well,
she would basically blank out my mind.
Yeah, she will stop Russ from putting it
I will forget all about that information. Mm-hmm. I won't have any recollection. In fact, it was mentioned.
What if it's on tape?
What if I can't find it?
Tape have gone
what
missing.
What if I can't? What if I don't have what if I don't
that's
have any,
that's where the missing tapes come in.
What if I have no inclination to find it? What if I look for it and, you know, I get bored and I don't want to look for it anymore?
Yeah, certain suggestions
are made. What if I come across it by accident? Well,
yeah.
There are no
accidents.
No,
this is new to me, and you know,
I'm not looking at me.
You know, I don't think there's no such thing as a foolish question. You know what I mean?
But I'm not looking at any reprimand or anything at this time. I've just been told by a mole in a meeting a couple of days ago that I just had to be careful of what I said. That some things that I have said in the past have led down certain paths which are not best walked at this time. There is an exception, and that's Skip, because we're trying to trip his cascading. I have to lead him very, very carefully. I've been told that I can lead him, but to watch what I say, to word it in a way that is more his wording. It pulls
right,
the words out of him.
Now, if you're, you know, when you're interacting with Skip, mm-hmm. okay, I didn't ask the question directly. Rustin asked a question directly. Mm-hmm. But your response to this man, when I'm in this room, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And don't you agree that it could have the same response with me as it does with him? It doesn't matter who asks the question. It matters how well you listen.
Yes, listening is important, but Skip does have a problem that neither of you do. Skip is experiencing his first life on your planet. That's why he's having the problems that he's having. We're trying to ease him into that transition. What we're trying to do is lead him in a particular way, but not tell him that he should do that. We leave the options open, but we're saying, okay, you want to access this information. This is how you do it. We're not saying, okay, this is how you access the information. We're going to show you how to actually pull out the information, and in doing so, you will experience the information. We're making him do the work, which is why he gets frustrated sometimes. But what is occurring is that Skip is experiencing and creating all these new karmic connections. And he is learning. You're fortunate that you've been around for quite a while on your planet.
Yes.
Russ is quite fortunate that he's been around.
Both Russ and I have been around for a long time.
Yeah. The best analogy is that this is a school. Skip is new to your school. So therefore, the new kid has to be shown around, as it were.
But even though Russ and I have been around, okay, and the new kid on the block, so to speak, okay, ask a question. Well, I mean, I don't care who asks the question. Mm-hmm. The information is usually quite pertinent.
That's correct.
And quite informative.
Mm-hmm.
So if Russ asks a question, or if Skip asks a question, mm-hmm. it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make my question more important or less important,
mm-hmm.
but I listen and learn from the answers that you give.
Well, that's good. It's important to listen. I mean, we learn a lot of information, or rather, those people sitting outside the pyramid up here learn a lot of information by listening to what's going on. For example, Kara is sitting over there very quiet, listening intently. In fact, I better put her on it.
Yeah, she hasn't been in tonight.
And then Tia is sitting at the other end, listening very intently and learning. And then Teen is learning a lot at the moment as she's counting her toes and manipulating the equipment and taking care of something else. And so, yeah. But she is listening and learning. And I better hop out and put on Kara.
All right.
As we are running short on time.
Okay, so Kara's coming.
She is on next. Okay. Let us proceed.
I have my shield pulled up tonight. It was a hard lesson. Hard to work me over.
You need practices, Amol pointed out.
Well, I need stamina practice. I mean, that is going to come with time, but I mean on
the constant pounding.
Yeah. And then finally, it took me the layered shield to kind of get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But I was a little shocked that I had to go to that level. I mean, was he like working it over a little extra hard tonight?
Yes, he was. I believe I caught a whiff of alcohol.
On a mall?
No, not on the mall.
Oh, me?
Me?
No, I'm referring to something earlier on that you might not have noticed, Russ.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, when we were over second at skis.
Oh, you mean the beer? What, do you think that I would diminish my capabilities?
Just a little.
Well, it was a good test. It didn't diminish them.
Yeah. But with
slower reaction time, possibly.
Yes. But in the situation that you were in, you needed shielding. And the fact that you had slowed things down by imbibing the alcohol when you needed the most, even though it was out of politeness. Yeah, you have to be weigh the good with the bad.
Well, so in the most optimal sense, to imbibe but be able to maintain capabilities, that's good practice too. So get like a case of beer and practice drinks of beer, practice my shield. Just kidding.
We'll deal with that later. Okay.
All right, so it is my understanding or misunderstanding with this conversation right here that alcohol or drug use would limit your shielding abilities.
Yes, it does. And the focusing ability of shielding.
Okay, so you're not able to focus as well, and that in turn makes your shielding ability less functional.
Correct. And the situation that you should try is getting Mark to coerce you when you've been drinking heavy. And you'll see the difference. Mind you, that's hardly a fair test, is it?
Well, I like the idea of Mark testing me when I haven't been drinking heavily, you know. But maybe you've had a couple of beers, okay? Which isn't too uncommon in my life. I mean, you're well aware of. Yeah, I know. I'm not pulling any punches or you know, trying to deceive anyone by any means. But I feel more comfortable challenging Mark, you know, under the influence of some alcohol, and let him try and break down my shields, okay, and my shielding ability, okay. Now, you're suggesting that I should do this when I'm blind drunk?
No, I'm not saying that when you're blind drunk.
You need to see the two sides.
Yes, exactly. To see both how you react with the quickness of protecting yourself from a coercive or a coercive coercer when you have been drinking a few drinks and when you haven't had any.
Like a test where you drink and go drive, but then you drink a whole lot more, then you go drive.
Yes.
Well, which is worse?
All right. You know, I just want to. Russ, understand.
Yeah, Russ will tell you that when Mark fully powers up, he's quite impressive as a coercer when he powers up, especially for a third dimensional coercer.
Kara, this evening, when I was over there, I did not pick up any need for heavy shielding, not like what I'd get with Omal when he's testing me.
Omal was not testing me.
Well, he was certainly working on me.
I think he was just powered up.
That could be it.
Yeah, he's gone to a council meeting.
But over there, you know, I can generally tell if someone's trying to drain me or someone's trying to coerce me or something like that, and I can then up my shields if I need to. But from what I recognize it as, my natural shielding was holding up just fine in that situation.
Yes, but you have to control the controller. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're talking about.
The best person to have asked would have been Kiri if she wasn't dealing with a nice customer.
Well, I think you're doing fine, though.
Yes, Tia actually went when she made comments about using cats as a sled team. She went like that and their claws came out.
Oh,
I don't think she meant to actually penetrate.
But she did cut her by accident.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice clean cut, actually, quite deep.
How's the guy with concussion?
He's been fine. Okay.
Alrighty.
Can we talk some more? Or are you're running away?
Well, I was about to help Teen over there who's busy cleaning the wound.
No professional courtesy at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I just had a question or two in mind.
Quick question.
But that's okay.
No, you need to go.
About coercion, mm-hmm. and utilizing that art, that science.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, can we use it on this dimension as well as you use it on your dimension?
I do not correct. I'm able to correct.
You don't utilize that technique at all?
I do not caress. I do not have the ability developed to caress. I am a healer. I fix people up. But
yeah, I know you're a healer. Okay. I'm sorry.
People on your planet have all the abilities within them. Whether or not they are developed is the point. For example, there are people that can control other people, right? Everybody can control everybody else from time to time. Children control their parents. Lovers control each other. But somebody that can control everybody whenever they want it is a coercer. Somebody that can heal anybody when they want it is a healer. Somebody that can create anything when they want to is a manifestor. Somebody that can leave their body whenever they want to is an astral traveler. Somebody that leaves their body from time to time and doesn't know where they're going but it just happens is not an astral traveler. Somebody that can manipulate and control somebody from time to time is not a caresser. Somebody that can make somebody feel better from time to time is not a healer. Somebody that can create something from time to time is not a manifestor. I control people from time to time. I have to control Russ from time to time. Russ controls me from time to time. But I would like to see Russ control Kieran. That's a coercer. You cannot coerce a coercer unless the coercer is distracted or is
wants to be coerced.
Correct. So, to answer your question, I do not coerce. You can coerce, but that is part of your makeup. Whether you can coerce whenever you want to, whoever you want to, and opens up to whether or not you coerce.
Jack's a coercer. You can always tell. I'm not a coercer, but I can coerce.
Have you seen Mark coerce Jack?
Yeah, they're both pretty equally matched in some points.
Some points, but I think Martin has the subtlety developed. He's not so blatant.
No, Jack Blake.
Mark is much more subtle and makes the person think that it's their idea. Jack is about as subtle as a sledgehammer on a walnut. Okay, I've got to go and patch up my sister.
Picture up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And it looks like Tia.
Uh-huh. Hello.
You gotta wash those things, baby. While I'm down to a nice
round. She moved pool. At the same time as I struck out.
Well, yeah, but you struck out with cloth.
It was an accident. It was an honest accident. She moved towards me.
It was the first time I would say, oh, bummer.
Oh, I've given her worse. The fact that she moved and continued moving once I had penetrated was what shocked me. She tried, she should have stopped and pulled away, but she carried on moving in and looking at me as if it was sort of just you there.
Now, couldn't you have touched her and kept your nails in as you